You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that God, come on, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to Him must come to Him, you know, believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So everything that we do for God must be in faith. And what's faith? God, you said it, I believe it, and I'm going to act like it's true. I mean, really, faith is pretty simple. It's not complex. But sometimes the simplest things are the hardest things to do because, one, they don't make sense, and on the other hand, it's like it can't be this easy. Right? Think about, I was once in the kingdom of darkness, but now I've transferred over to the kingdom of light. And how did I get there? Just one way. There was a day where I said, I came to the realization that I needed a change in my life. And I needed Jesus to be my Savior, that my sin was keeping me down. And I said, I agreed to it. I said that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. And I was saved. I was transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, it can't be that easy. Well, it's not. He paid a terrible penalty but my part is just believing what He did and applying it to me. And the same thing is true on many realms. And I was thinking about worship this morning, and it's like, Lord, I believe that we're right in Your throne room. I believe, Lord, when I come before You, and whether I have any feelings or not, if I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to You, I'm right in His throne room. Like we did this verse a little bit earlier, and it's like, ask, knock, you know, and open the door, be all that. But we have to believe that. That's the key to getting it to operate in our lives. Lord, if I seek You, I'll find You. Amen? Glory to God. I want to talk to you this morning about taking the land. Everybody say, taking the land. It didn't say that God's going to give you the land. You have to take what He's going to give you. Let me say that again. Not every promise in the Word of God is automatically going to roll on your back because you just want it to happen. Sometimes it takes us to put actions to our faith. In fact, the Bible says that faith without works, and one version says corresponding action, is dead. It means it won't work. It's futile. But we have to put our action, our faith into action by acting on the promises that God made. If you'll turn your Bibles with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Very familiar story, but don't let the familiarity of it keep you from hearing what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. How many have things that, you know, in life that you just feel like there's better? God's got more for me. This isn't exactly how I'm supposed to be living my life. There's more that God has for me. Now watch this. In most things in life, God has His part, but we have our part. Right? God has His part. In fact, I'll just tell you, He's done His part already. But it's by our faith that we access what He's done and put into motion the laws that create it. Now look at, for time's sake, I'm just going to summarize this and then we'll start out in verse 17. But here's Israel, and they're in the wilderness. And God said, I'm taking you to a land that flows with milk and honey. Here's the promise. You're going into the promised land. The promised land that I promised Abraham years before. There was definite boundaries and everything. You're going back in, and I'm taking you back in. Okay? So that was where they were headed. But Moses said, and thought it was a good idea, let's go spy out the land. Let's put in a search party so that we can kind of get a game plan on where we're going to go, how we're going to do it, and how the Lord is going to lead us in this. But in verse 17, it says this. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south, then go up to the mountains and see what land is like, whether there are people who dwell there in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they may dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there is forest or there or not, be of good courage and bring some fruit of the land. Now is the time. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Now watch this. He's saying, go into the land and check it out. I want you to kind of map it out. Here's the city, whether the city is a strong city or a weak city. But take courage. Be of good courage. Listen to that. Be of good courage. Why? Because your courage is based on your faith that God has promised. In other words, God has promised us this land. So when you go in, don't go in weak, but go in with strength. When we face our life, we cannot remain weak in our thoughts if God is on our side. See, the Bible says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The Bible also says the joy of the Lord is my strength. It didn't say your joy, His joy. Right? And so we have to be at the place where we're leaning and standing on what He said rather than what we feel, what we see, what we taste, what we hear. Come on. Hallelujah. So we're going to see this. In verse 21 says, and so they went up and spied the land where the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Shishah, whatever. I'm butchering all of these, by the way. And the descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in the Egypt. And they came to the valley of Eshol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes and carried it between two people on a pole. And they also brought some pomegranates and figs. And the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which men of Israel had cut down. And they returned from the land, spying out the land, after 40 days. So now I want you to get this. This was about a year or so, they say, when they're in the wilderness. So it's about a year that they're wandering around in the wilderness. But God said, okay, you know, Moses, go spy it out. And He sent them out, right? And it was just like they said, right? And they came back and they said, well, bring us back some of the fruit. Give us a little taste of it. Now just imagine it. Have you been to the store and get a bag of grapes? Right? A bag of grapes. Well, this was one cluster of grapes. You know how you pick up a cluster of grapes? It was so big that they had to have two men with poles, you know, two men on each end of a pole carrying the cluster of grapes because it was so large. And they should have been shocked. Why? Because God said, I'm going to send you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. In other words, that your provision will be supernaturally supplied. That's where I'm taking you. And remember, Moses had prepared him and said, be courageous, have great courage, because you're going where God called us to. Now let's watch the response here. So, verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back the word to them and to all the congregations and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them, they said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Now here comes a word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, it's just as God promised, but nevertheless. That nevertheless is trouble. It says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. These were giants. Have you ever seen somebody that's really tall? I mean, I'm tall, right? But we used to have a fellow that came. His name was Mike Lindy, and Mike was like 6'7" or something. I was 6'8". He was really tall. But when I was a kid, I was going to church, and I looked behind me, and there happened to be an African American that was like 7'2", and he was huge. I mean, he wasn't just tall and skinny. He was huge. Well, that's nothing compared to the 9-foot people that they're seeing. God's promise, you're well able to go in and take the land, go spy it out, but. Now, the natural thing to go is, I'm not sure. And we're going to relate this to ourselves because when God promises us something, there's always an opportunity for nevertheless. There's always an opportunity for us to get to the place where we're going, yes, this is God's promise, but what about the economy? What about COVID? What about, right? And watch this. That's the way the majority of people run. Look at verse 29. The Amalekites dwell there in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea and the long banks of the Jordan. And they're going, look, we got all these people. God's made us this promise, but you don't understand. We've seen the land. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But these people. God must not have known of the people or the obstacles that they were going to face to go into the land, but the people. Now he sent out one person from each tribe. So the 12 people went out. 10 of them had a bad report. We're going to see that in a minute. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report. Because think about this. You got all these people and Moses and everybody, and they're hearing this report. And at some point they're going, yeah, this is what God promised us. Praise the Lord, this is what we have. And then they hear the bad report. And most of them went, oh. It was good while it lasted. The joy was okay while it lasted. No, in the midst of seeing an obstacle, there were two that had a different report. Verse 30 says, and then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we are well able to overcome it. See, here's what I'm saying, is the 10 saw the promise through the giants. But the 2 saw the giants through the promise. In other words, the giants are nothing because we serve a God who is bigger than the circumstances that we're seeing right now. But watch this, and it's very interesting. If the numbers play out, you know, less than 2%. Watch this. Less than 20% of the people that were there that day would stand and enter the promise that God had for them. Right? Less than 20%. It's the same today. It's the same today. There are very few people who will look past the obstacles that they're facing into the promises of God and stand no matter what the circumstances are in order to take the land. And you know the story that the whole generation was killed off because none of them went with the 2. The 2 were by themselves. Even their own tribes didn't go with them, but only 2 who stood on the promise, entered into the land. Glory to God. Verse 30 again. And I like this. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. You have to have the ability to quiet your own self and your own heart and your own mind before the promises of God. You have to say, now, because our minds go crazy, right? Well, yeah, this is what the Bible says, and God said He'd take care of me. God said, by His stripes I'm healed. God said that I could have peace. God said not to worry and all of that. But then everything comes at you. You have to be the strong one. If you're going to take the land, you have to be the strong one that in spite of what you feel, what you hear, what you see, you have to say, no, God said. And listen to what Caleb said. He didn't just say, yeah, I think we can do it. He said, we're well able. We're well able to do it. We need to be the well able to, because God, who is behind us, is backing the promise that He gave us. Glory to God. What does that mean? Peace? Listen to me. I will live in peace no matter what's going on. I will love even as God loved. I will forgive even as God forgave, because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. But most of us go back to the default of looking at our circumstances rather than being like Caleb and say, let's go right now. Right now. Come on. I can't wait. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I want to be Caleb and not the rest. Watch now. Go to chapter 14. And verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. So who did all the people listen to? The 10. And they all cried when they should have rejoiced. Let me say that again. They all cried when they should have rejoiced. And all you have to do is look at Facebook and see that most Christians are crying rather than rejoicing, because they're looking at their lives through their circumstances rather than the promises that God has made to them. So we have to ask ourselves, are we going to be of the 2 or the 10? Joshua said it this way, as for me and my house, at the end of his life, as for me and my house, talking about his next generation, the generation after that, as for me, you guys can do whatever y'all want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But serving the Lord means we're going to trust Him, we're going to do what He says, and we're going to stand on the promises that He gives. Glory to God. I want to be one that takes the land. I'm not done yet. Okay, look at... let's go on. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if you'd only died in the land of Egypt, if we'd only died in or only died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims, and it would not be better for us to return to Egypt? How many Facebook post am I seeing on Facebook to describe that this is how the people of God are acting in the climate that we're in? We're acting like God's promises aren't true. We're acting like we're victims instead of victors. And God said, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Listen, you have to believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if I'm seeking God, I will be rewarded. But here's the deal. You have to stick with the promise no matter how long the promise takes. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Hallelujah. So they said one to another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephthah, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spake to all the congregation of the children of Israel, said, the land that we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only, watch this, do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread, and their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear. Are we going to be people who fear and fall back? Or are we going to be a people who stand in faith and go forward? Right? As a church, but as individuals. Right? It can be discouraging when we live in a land that we're living where it seems like everything is being eroded out from underneath us. And we can go, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and America's going to fall in a... Who cares? I'm not of this kingdom. I live in the United States. I'm a proud American. I love my country, all of that. But it's not my kingdom. My kingdom's of heaven. And He's made some incredible promises to me that when all this is burned up, He's going to make it all new, and I'm going to live and reign with Him forever and ever 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 and ever. So do I get bogged down in the details of the now, or do I keep my focus on the promise and the future? If I want to take the land, I've got to keep my focus on the promise. Are you with me? Come on. I want to be like, the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Fear who? Whoever's speaking against the promises of God in your life. Come on. And I think that there's Christians that are speaking fear all over the place. And it's like we've got to quit listening to that and start listening. Well, God, if God be for me, who can be against me? If God loves me, then what can any persecution, what can any famine do? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. So I refuse to get my feelings involved in what's happening outside. I want my feelings to react to what's happening on the inside. And even though, Paul said it this way, even though the outer man perishes, the inner man is growing day by day, day by day, day by day. Closer and closer to the one that I'm going to be with eternally. Amen? God is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is right now making intercession for us. Right? But if we're going to take the land, we cannot have an evil report. I said we cannot have an evil report. Look at verse 30. And this is God, watch this, this is God's reaction to the 10 and to the 2. In fact, to all of the nation of Israel, because they didn't heed to the voices of Joshua and Caleb. And He says, except for Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore to make you to dwell in. You're not getting there. They could go there. In fact, if you've ever studied the story, it's about a 200-mile walk from Egypt into the Promised Land, right? 20 miles a day, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people, so even if it took a year, if it took, you know, whatever, they should have been in there already. They should have been starting to take the land already, but they didn't, and now God said, none of you, not one of you. Why? Because you of little faith cannot enter the land. I want to be one that has great faith. And in the daily struggles, in the daily, you know, you have to stand, you have to get your mouth back on the promises of God rather than in the details of everyday things. Let me just give you an example. Renita and I are building an ADU on the property. When I say we're building, we're wanting to build. The county, bless their hearts, are going over our paperwork for permits. And it's been in there a long, long time. And it seems like everything that I tried to do, you know, it's like contractor. You go to contractor, y'all be out on Tuesday. And then you forgot to ask them which Tuesday. Right, but it can be frustrating, right? And everybody's busy, and I get it. And you know, they don't answer your calls, whatever. It's just amazing. Now I can get lost in that and get so discouraged and go, oh my God, and just let my anger go down in a direction. Or I can go back to the promise that God said He'd supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. And do not fret or have anxiety for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. So I have a choice. If I'm going to take the land, I have to be over here. But if I'm going to succumb to the enemy's pressure, I'm going to live over here. I want to be over here, not over here. So I have to be careful what's coming out of my mouth, because what's coming out of my mouth is attracting the very thing that I'm saying. So am I going to be a victim or am I going to be a victor? I can tell you by what's coming out of your mouth what you're going to endure. One of the hardest things for somebody who's been victimized in the past, and really we all have, but some are very severe and others aren't as severe. But the thing to get them out of that into a place of real joy and peace is to get their victim's hat off and for them to put on the victor's crown. And the way you put on the victor's crown is that you take the promises of God, and even though it seems impossible right now because of the obstacles that are before you, you keep saying, I am well able to get there because He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And He's made me more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Come on. I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. He's triumphed over the enemy. But I have to stand on the promise instead of going with the crowd and say, you know, listen, I think you need therapy. I'm not against therapy, by the way. I think you need therapy, and it's probably going to be about 30 years of therapy, and all you're going to be is broke and probably more depressed than you began with. Or you can take the promises of God, the Word of God. Again, I'm not saying that I'm against therapy. Therapy with a good counselor is awesome. But those that keep you coming back year after year after year after year after year, I have a problem with. Because I believe that we're supposed to be in the promise. Come on. Not in the wilderness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to God. And the way that we do that is we sustain that by the Word of God. Go to Numbers 26. Numbers 26. And we're going to go to verse 65. 26:65. There's one verse that I failed to mention back there. So we're going to hold your place there. And I'll read this verse. You don't have to turn back with me. But back in Numbers 14. I just saw one of my notes. And verse 37. Could you put that up for me, please? It says, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died in the plague before the Lord. The 10 spies that brought the evil report, boom, they were gone. Why? Because the report that went against the promise was called an evil report. Okay? We don't want to be of those that have an evil report. We want to be of those that have a good report. Amen. I know that there's troubles in the world, and I know that, you know, like right now, there are a lot of folks this morning that have COVID or tested positive or whatever. But listen, that should not put you in a position where you're doubting what God has promised you. Right? I refuse to let my peace be stolen by the world's circumstances. But I can only maintain my peace if I look at the world through the promise rather than the giant. All right, 26, verse 65. It says, for the Lord said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, so there was not one left, a man of them, except for Caleb and Joshua. See, if you're going to receive everything that God has for you, you have to be in a position where you are strong enough to stand against the crowd that says no. Well, yeah, no, God's promised you that, but it's really not for you. And you know, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have tribulation. And that's true. But the rest of that, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. In other words, listen, it doesn't matter what they can do to the outside. If you'll remain in the promise of God that He has you, that He's with you, that He'll not leave you or forsake you, then glory to God, you don't have to be concerned about that. Living through the promise. Watch. Sometimes we read the Bible like this, and I get it to a point, but He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said that I have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of me. And yet, it seems like much of the church is in the area, well, God is with you. You know, you did nothing to get righteousness. God, that's a gift. But once you become righteous, if you blow it, then God leaves you. But the reality is He'll never leave me or forsake me. But the enemy will come with condemnation to keep you out of the presence of God. So I believe, listen, I believe in being righteous. I believe in doing righteous. I believe in acting righteously. I believe in all of those things because it's the best thing for me. But even if I mess up, I'm going to get up and by faith start rejoicing that I'm in the presence of God right now. Father, I just repent of that and I come before You right now. I know that You have freed me from the stain and shame of what I've just done. But I'm coming back towards You with great anticipation of being in Your presence. Whether I feel it or not, I'm going to stand and take the land. I'm going to stand and take the land. I said, I'm going to stand and take the land. Hallelujah. Chapter 32. I hope you all get something this morning. 32 and verse 12. Now, let's go to verse 11. Surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from the 20 years old or above shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because they have not wholly followed Me. They've not remained in My present promise. Except Caleb, the son of Jephthah, the Kishite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Are we going to wholly follow the Lord? Are we going to follow Him until we hit an obstacle and then run back? Are we going to fully and completely say, Lord, I'm all in. Even if the world doesn't like it, even if it doesn't make sense to You, Lord, Your Word is my standard. I'm going to stand on Your Word. I'm going to stand on Your promise. And God, even if everybody leaves me, which they won't, but if everybody leaves me, God, I'm standing on Your Word because I want to be one of the two, not of the millions who didn't. Think about that. Again, it wasn't just the ten. They were killed by the plague, but it wasn't just the ten. Depending on what commentaries you read, there was either in excess of 1 million people up to 3 million people that went over in the Red Sea. Two finally went in. But it's the two who stood on the promise. And when they heard God promise, they said, yep, that's ours. It's like Caleb, I'm well able to do this. Glory to God. I'm well able to do this. How many have been in a situation where I just don't feel like I can go on? Anybody been there? I've been there, but what do you have to do? You have to stand up in the presence of that and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. There is nothing impossible for those who believe. I'm a believer and God is with me. And I'm teaching you how to stand and how to go into the promise and stay with the promise. Go to Joshua chapter 14. The book of Joshua in the 14th chapter. I love this. I absolutely love this. See, sometimes it's almost like we feel like, okay, if I'm going to stand on the promises and you're not, then I have to look at you as less than me. It's really not about this. It's not about your relationship with the Lord. It's about me and the Lord and where we are. I can love you if you're somewhere different than I am, but this is what God has promised me, and I'm going to stand on it. chapter 14 of Joshua and look at the sixth verse. It said, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephthah, the Kizzite, said to him, 'You know the word of the Lord, which said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt.'" See, you got to listen. You got to be careful who you're listening to. "The other ten, they made the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord.' And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive," he said, "these 45 years. 45 years. If you're going to stand on the promise of God, and if you're going to take the land, then you've got to be into for the long haul. What are you believing God for? Yeah, but I believe God, and I've been standing on the Word of God. It's been 2 weeks, and nothing's happened. Right? It's been 2 years, and nothing's happened. It's been 20 years, and I haven't received it. Well, let me ask you, have you come off of the promise? Or are you still fully following God?" Come on. 45 years. But in the midst of the 45 years, he heard all the belly aching. He heard all the complaining. He ate all the manna. Right? He walked around in the desert for 40 years. But after 45 years, he's standing there finally in the place. Now watch this. The same obstacles were there in the land that were there 45 years ago. So this man is 85 years old. 85 years old. I just love this. I love this. Let's go. "So Moses swore that day, saying, 'Surely the land of your foot,'" verse 9, "'has trod your inheritance and your children's children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive and said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so my strength is for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain from which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how that the Anakim was there, and these cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me. I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." He's 85 years old, and he said, "Come on, boys!" And really, Joshua said, "Do you need any help?" And he said, No, I don't need any help. If God is with me, come on. I don't need your help. I don't need anything. I have the promise of God. It's been in me for 45 years. I've thought about it over and over and over again. I've seen the picture of where we're going to go in. I've seen the pictures of these people leaving. I've seen the pictures of the cities falling. I've seen it. And now, today is the day. And glory to God, I'm well able to. I don't need your stinking help, because I've already seen it in my heart, that which God has promised me in my future. But if we're going to be of the less than 20%, we have to stand when the more than 80% is not. If we're going to take the land, in the midst of our circumstances, even though we're in the wilderness, even though sickness or even though circumstances don't seem to be the way that we're not living exactly where we want to be, in the midst of all of that, we have to stand on God's Word. God said, you want me to prosper. You said, it's your delight for me to prosper. You delight in the prosperity of your servants. Lord, I want to be at the place where I'm fully, completely, wholly following you. In fact, let's go. This is very important. We have to know His will. Faith can never be attained outside of the knowledge of His will. You can't believe God for something that He hasn't promised you. And the promises are in His Word. So if you're going to stand for something, you have to have His Word on it. Right? So the Word is important. But watch, go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I'm throwing those guys a little change here, but that's okay. Watch this. Now think about this standing. I'm standing in the midst of the wilderness trying to take the land that God's promised. I'm trying to hold out hope for what God has promised me. Verse 1 says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity. How many know that in our day, right now, we could be this? Lord, here's what your word says. Here's what everybody else is saying. And Lord, it seems like more people like them than like me. Are we going to go down that road? Or are we going to say, Lord, I'm going to stand on your word because I want to wholly follow you? Verse 2 says, for they shall soon be cut down like grass, winter as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him also, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as a noonday. You know, people go around quoting, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And I think some people misapply that, saying that if you delight in the Lord, then whatever you desire, He'll give you. But I think it's more like this. If you delight in the Lord, your desires will line up with His desires. You'll trust in Him. You'll walk with Him. You're not going to listen to what evildoers say. You're just going to walk in Him. Amen? Right? So the first thing, if we're going to stand and we're going to take the land, is that we have to want God's best. We have to wholly follow Him. We have to be doers of the Word of God. And then we have to be hearers of what the Spirit is saying and be in the place where the meditation of our heart is on Him and He is allowed to then act on our behalf. But how many are in it for the long haul? Right? How many? Come on, I've been here for a while. I've been walking with the Lord for a few years now. I haven't received all the promises, but I've refused to let slip the things that God has spoken to me in the past. I believe that my best days are yet to come. In fact, I don't believe it. I know it. Why? Because there's one day I'm going to put this body aside, this earth suit, this mobile home that I'm walking in. I'm going to put it aside. And I'm going to take on eternity. And that second that I pass from this life is going to be the best one, best second in my existence. Woo! Because I'm going to see Him face to face. All right, let's close with this. Go to Mark chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark. You probably know the story very well, but we're going to go over it again. I'm talking about taking the land, and you can't take the land unless you trust what God has said. You cannot take the land unless you stand in the midst of everybody else going a different way, you standing and facing all the obstacles based on what you know to be true out of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, or 5, excuse me, Mark chapter 5. And let's go to verse 25. Many of you are probably really aware of this particular story, but let's read it again. Verse 25, it says, Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She was in an impossible situation with no way out. Listen to her. Listen to this. When she heard about Jesus, what have you heard about Jesus? What does the Bible say about Jesus? The Bible said that He was our Messiah. He's the one that came to destroy the works of the enemy. He was anointed to heal the brokenhearted. He was anointed to set the captives free. He was anointed to bring sight to the blind. So she heard about Jesus. But not only did she hear about that, but she saw the results of that, or she heard about the results of that. Man, everywhere this guy goes, deaf are healed. Come on, blind see. Lame are walking. Demons are even subject to His name. She heard about this. But let me just ask you, were there other people in the nation of Israel, probably in the same area, that had the same kind of condition that she had, or some other debilitating one that was just the same? Do you think that they might have heard about Jesus? I think so. But they said, well, I would like to go see Him, but you know how it is. I'm not supposed to be out in public. I'm not supposed to all this. It's first, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garments. For she said, if I only may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. She said, listen, I've heard of the promise, and I'm going out and I'm going to get it. I'm going out and I'm going to take that land. I'm going to make a stand, but I'm not just going to make a stand and sit here with empty words. I'm going to do something about it. She had to get out of her house. She was weak. She was tired. And she had to press through the crowds. Now, many commentators say that this crowd that they're talking about is like 5,000 people just surrounding Him, falling, you know, just like this. Well, she had to push her way through. You ever been in a crowd where somebody pushes her? It's irritating. But she was one of those people who was just irritating because I'm going to get something. I'm not going to let you out. I'm getting something. And she had to get close enough to touch Him, because that was the faith that she was, if I can only touch Him, I will be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing that power had gone out from Him, turned in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But His disciples said to Him, "You see the multitude thronging you. You say, who touched me?" Think about it. You're walking with Jesus. There are people bumping all over everybody. What are you talking about, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. Come on. This is crowded, boy. And He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith," He didn't say my power, although His power was involved. He said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." See, she was one who went against the odds. Despite what anybody else said, I'm going to get and take the land of this promise. I'm going to get what God has for me. And I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. And even though it's a struggle, even though I've got to press through a bunch of people who aren't receiving anything because they're just coming to see the show, I'm coming in faith to receive the promise. So she had to believe something. But then she had to say something. But then she had to do something in order to receive. And for us to take the land, we have to be the exact same way. We have to hear something first. We have to hear what the promise is based on the Word of God. You can't just go willy-nilly believing for anything. But But based on God's promise, this is what He said, that I can have peace in the midst of the storm, that I can walk in the peace that passes all understanding. So I'm going to get in here. When fear tries to steal that peace, I'm going to go to the Word where it talks about fear. And how many times it says, fear not, be not afraid, don't be anxious. Over and over again, I'm going to take those promises and I'm going to stand on them in the midst of the storm. And even though, you know, it's like I'm sitting out on the mast of the ship and the wind is blowing over me and there's waves crashing over me, and it seems like if I don't hold on to this pole, I'm just going to be swept away. I'm standing on the promises of God because I am well able to take the land because God promised, I believe it, and I'm standing until I receive it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who in here is willing to stand to get the land? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for the ability to stand. I thank You, God, that Your promises are true. And Lord, I don't care if I've been standing for 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, or 40 years. I will see the salvation of Your Son in this situation because You're with me. God, I just bless You. I bless Your name. I bless everybody that's listening right now. Father, I ask You to touch them, encourage them, stir them up, Lord, to stand for what they believe in Jesus' name. And God, I just give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. If you're out there, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just ask Him into your heart. Say, Father, I need a Savior. I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Lord of my life, and I'm going to start walking for Him with everything that I've got. I give everything to Jesus. I'm going to wholly follow Him. If you'll do that, He'll touch you. You'll be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless everybody who's suffering with COVID right now. Father, I just pronounce healing over them, peace over them. Lord, I thank You that even our country, Lord, You're at the foundation of it, Lord, and we just trust You with everything in Jesus' name. We're following the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world, and we give You the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us.